WATD presents Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
If it's Monday night, it's got to be Monday Night Talk with Kevin Tachi. So thanks for having me on.
Kevin, good for you to hold back and let him tell his story.
Putting the South Shore spin on politics, current events, and pop culture.
You guys are the center of the universe today, at least the political universe.
I believe both of you are from the area. Marshfield guys, yes, no?
Correct, yeah.
That's right.
There's only one person not from Marshfield in this room right now. That's you.
It's me. I'm the outcast.
Well, you've always been generous with the time. I appreciate it very much.
Well, I'm honored to be on your show tonight, Kevin, with that impressive lineup you have.
I believe our guest that we've been waiting for, Congressman Stephen Lynch.
Kevin, good to join you.
The governor of the Commonwealth,
very
Charlie
good.
Baker. You ready?
I got to tell you that it was really nice to hear Aerosmith on the intro there.
You're going
to
be the rock and roll governor?
I don't know about that, but...
We have Joe Sullivan joining us. Sir, how are you?
Well, Kevin, very good to be with you again.
Dr. Drew Pinsky. Dr. Drew, you there?
I'm here. Thanks for having me.
Mr. Ming Tsai, welcome to the show, sir.
Hey, thanks, Kevin.
Massachusetts State Auditor Suzanne Bump. Hello, Auditor. How are you?
I am fine, and I'm delighted to be with you this evening.
And now, your host, Kevin Tachi.
Welcome and good evening. You are tuned into yet another Monday Night Talk. My name, as the intro told you, is Kevin Tachi, but I actually have somebody riding in the passenger seat with me this evening. We have none other than State Representative Kathy Lanatra.
Rep. Thank you, Kevin. Great to be here once again.
And we actually have a kind of a special show lined up, don't we?
We do. We do. I'm looking forward to it.
We're going to dance our way through the next 1 hour and 25 minutes. As we talk a little bit about a special event that's coming up. Now, there is going to be a legislative moment that's going to take place after our traffic in a couple of minutes. We'll check in with Renee Hamilton. But we're going to find out about a special event that's going to be taking place. I believe it's something that's been being presented by the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce.
Yes, it is.
Now, this is something that I actually, I love seeing things in my social media news feed. And it so happens that I saw Representative Lanatra's something in her feed in regards to her being involved, doing a little dancing. And there's a whole group of other people who are going to be doing it with her. Now, if you recall, a few years ago, before we were living with a pandemic, I believe WATD's very own Rob Hakala did something that was similar. Now, I don't know if the name of the particular event was similar.
It was very, very similar. It was for a different organization. It was for Suicide Prevention Coalition.
That is correct.
Yes.
And what's even more interesting is the name of this is different. It's Dancing with Our Stars.
I noticed that.
You see that? We did that in unison. We're like lockstep here. But so not only is the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce presenting it, but it's also being brought to you by the Fred Astaire Dance Studio.
In Plymouth, yes.
In Plymouth, that is correct. So the idea here is that a good portion of this radio program is going to be dedicated to discussing that very event.
That competition. We'll be meeting my competition this evening.
At least
that's what we'll be doing.
At least some of the competition. So joining us will be Amy Naples. She, of course, is the executive director of the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce. She'll be popping by and we'll talk with her about the event. And then, top of the hour, hour number two, indeed, as the representative teased, we'll be meeting some of the competition. And we are expecting to hear from Casey Baird. She is with the Fred Astaire Dance Studio as well. Plymouth Police Officer Mark Higgins. And a good friend, Julie
Very
Thompson.
Good friend. Yes.
Someone you know.
I know well. I was with her
show
on Friday.
She's the executive director of PAC TV, Plymouth Area Cable in Plymouth. Serving the Plymouth areas, Plymouth, Duxbury, Kingston, and Pembroke.
Pembroke.
So we'll speak with Julie Thompson and Mark Higgins, get their take on being contestants, and you'll be a part of that pool, and you'll talk about being a contestant as well. I'm looking to do a little compare and contrast as to how you each were, don't give any answers yet,
okay,
but how it all came to be that you were part of this competition, and other things. I don't want to tip my hand just yet. But
just
I want,
a little teaser. Just a little yes, teaser. Just a little teaser.
And then I'm going to close things out with Paula Fleming. I love having Paula on. Paula is the she is the chief spokesperson for the local Better Business Bureau, kind of the New England, some of the New England states. We're going to talk with her. If you are thinking about getting yourself a video doorbell, some of the things, some of the tips to keep in mind. Listen, if there's a way to scam somebody or to take advantage of somebody,
it's out there.
There's always ways, and the Better Business Bureau is on top of those things. We'll talk about what to be aware of if you're going to purchase one, and we're also going to talk a little bit about if you are somebody who is considering getting yourself some COVID tests from the federal government, some other tips to be aware of in regards to purchasing those.
That will be very helpful.
That will be very, very helpful. So what we're going to do, one other thing, I think we're also going to have Representative Allison Sullivan join us just for a couple of moments.
Yes.
Just to kind of give us some details in regards to a hearing, a dangerousness hearing, up at the State House tomorrow. So we'll talk
yes.
about that as well.
Looking forward to that.
I am so stressed out. The school, home, bills, government, economy, gas prices, vaccines. It is so hard to get anything done and so stressful. We are all stretched to the max with no end in sight. We're all saying the same thing to one another. This is crazy. I'm not the bringer of bad news. I bring good news. And the good news is we're all in this together. And I actually find comfort in that. So let's all take these stress-relieving, mindful breaths together. Don't change the channel. Shh. Take a breath. I'm inhaling. I'm exhaling. Brennan Smoke Shop. Have a great day.
Welcome back to Monday Night Talk. Don't just listen, say something. Call 781-837-4900. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
And we return for a segment, the State House Report. I have to say, though, hearing Jeffrey when he does that spot reminds me of a couple of months ago when me and the missus went to the salt. You ever been to the salt cave?
I have recently been, yes.
What did you think?
I loved it. I went with my girlfriends from high school and we had a great time. It was, you walked out another human being.
It reminded me of that with all the breathing.
Mm-hmm.
So, very interesting. Now, would you go back?
I would go back. I did not know what to expect when we went.
Same.
And again, they were high school girlfriends, so we did have the giggles because we were all 16 when we're together for about 5 minutes, and then we really got into it. But I enjoyed it thoroughly.
Yeah, I would definitely give it a thumbs up as well. So this is your opportunity to kind of share some of the things that are happening, whether it's in your district or some of the happenings up on Beacon Hill. And my understanding is that the House actually had a vote last week in regards to COVID. You want to give some details?
Yes. So last Wednesday, the House passed a $55 million COVID response bill, and that was aimed at addressing current shortages and inadequacies dealing with the latest outbreak that we've all experienced of COVID. So this legislation, which will draw from the state's general fund, it provides $30 million to create and expand COVID testing sites. We've heard from so many folks about their struggles in finding a test. My family as well, I'm sure you have all, how about you, Kevin, have you heard that? Everyone's having trouble finding tests, so this is really going to be helpful. So these funds are going to go a long way towards helping people find more access to tests. And just on that note, I wanted to bring up that the Plymouth County Commissioners and the Treasurer were able to kind of get 360,000 tests for Plymouth County. And they're going to start distributing them on Thursday by town, which is great. I get to be a part of that. But, you know, thank you to the county commissioners and the county treasurer. That's amazing. But going back to the bill, this bill also provides $5 million to expand youth vaccination rates with more money focused on communities affected by the virus. The final $25 million will go towards purchasing and distributing high-quality masks to students and faculty in elementary and secondary education across the Commonwealth. So, you know, this Omicron is just exploded. I mean, everywhere I turn, I hear of someone that's getting it. They did mention that they thought it was at the peak. So let's hope that's the case. And, you know, it will be an endemic as opposed to a pandemic.
Yeah, and that's the interesting thing is that I keep seeing reports that we are turning a corner because of Omicron, that in fact that maybe we won't see another variant we will have to be concerned with. But I guess the proof will be in the pudding, and we'll see where we're at in a couple of months and see if that in fact is true. And if it will become an endemic, where it's just basically like catching the flu.
Correct.
Or getting
mm-hmm.
a cold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have been long warning us that this could be something that'll be with us probably for the
rest of
our
lives.
Right?
Yeah. So
how does any idea as to how the county commissioners or how the county is going to divvy up those tests that they're going to give out? Have they shared?
They have shared. Actually, if you go on my Facebook page, I do have a graph that shows the amount that are going to the community. Unfortunately, I think it's just in my district that I have, but I'm going to look that up now just to share with all of you. I just have it for my communities. But they will be, every half hour on Thursday, they're going to be in each of the communities in Plymouth County and distributing those tests. And then it will be up to those municipalities and what they do with them.
How important has it been for government of all levels to have stepped up in these times of need, especially during a pandemic?
Oh, extremely important. Extremely important. I mean, just the access, just think of the beginning of the pandemic. I mean, I walked in with my K95, right? They were obsolete. We couldn't find them for our first responders. We couldn't find for our doctors, our nurses, and now they're in abundance. But, you know, we need that partnership with government, too, to make these things happen.
Now, we're waiting for State Rep. Allison Sullivan to call us any minute now. And I believe that you are planning to testify tomorrow in regards to a dangerousness bill that she's putting forth.
Yes. So Rep. Sullivan and myself will each be on a separate panel with a domestic violence victim, and we'll be testifying with them on the dangerousness bill, which is House 66 by the governor. And it's, you know, there's so many things that affect victims. You know, the more I hear stories and the more I've sat down with one of my constituents about her case, the victims really don't have many rights. There really isn't a lot of rights that the victims have. And so this will kind of change that and put the ball more in the court of the victim. One of the bills, not this bill, the dangerousness bill, but one of the bills that she brought up that she filed with Rep. Cutler was a bill, which I have here. It was House Bill 1507, and it's an act relative to the definition of attempted murder. And this was such a shock to me, but a stabbing is not considered attempted murder. Now think about that. Poisoning, strangling, and of course being shot are considered attempted murder, but being stabbed is not.
That's very interesting.
Isn't that interesting? I was shocked about that. So this is a bill I'm very interested in, and as well as Rep. Sullivan. Actually, she's a co-sponsor. I did not know about it until recently, but we'll be supporting and actively supporting this bill.
And speaking of State Rep. Allison Sullivan, she joins us on the airwaves. So, Representative, thank you for joining us for a couple of minutes.
Good evening. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Allison.
Hello, Kathy. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so interested in this hearing tomorrow, and I'm glad that we both get to do this together.
And I'm so very grateful for your participation and your encouragement and being able to host a panel of survivors. I think that's going to be critical tomorrow.
How important, talk to us about the details in this in regards to this particular hearing and the importance of the information that has to be delivered to the panel.
You know, it's critically important for the safety of victims of dangerous crimes. You know, right now, the very limited crime base that can ask for a dangerousness hearing. There's limitations on when you can ask for a dangerousness hearing. And then there's also restrictions on the amount of time you can be held from a dangerousness hearing. So this bill essentially fixes those loopholes, right, that we have currently in our state law. It allows for crimes such as child rapists to be able to be held on a dangerousness hearing. It allows for, if a judge is to find a defendant danger, you know, too dangerous to be on the street, that they would be held until the duration of the trial instead of the 120 to 180 days currently.
Which is crazy. You know, someone isn't all of a sudden not dangerous after 180 days or 120 days.
Correct. Yeah, and then the fact of the matter is, prosecutors are only allowed to have one shot at a motion for a dangerous hearing, right. And that's at the initial arraignment, I'm sorry. And most of the time, it takes a great length to be able to gather that evidence, whether it be from the police department or the prosecutors, to really have that evidence to show someone too dangerous to be on the streets in the Commonwealth. And to only be able to ask for that one initial arraignment is very much tying the hands of our prosecutors to be able to really advocate for victims, especially victims of domestic violence, when they're at a greater risk of danger when either attempting to flee a dangerous, violent situation.
So what language will this clean up? If it is something that is voted out favorably, if it is passed, what will it look to change language-wise?
Like I said, what would change is that a defendant, if found too dangerous to be released, that defendant would be held until the duration of trial, so until there's either a not guilty or a guilty verdict rendered. It would allow for a variety of different crimes such as arson or child rapist to be able to fall under a dangerous hearing. It would also expand some of the charges that can be brought for someone who violates the GPS order, whether it be cutting off a GPS ankle monitor or violating the restrictions with the GPS. It holds people accountable for violating restraining orders. And really, this will protect victims throughout the Commonwealth even further than we already do.
Yes, which is well needed. It also will allow the judge now to consider the defendant's criminal history during that dangerous
Correct.
Hearing, which before was not being able to be presented.
Right.
So how has this been able to go on like this without this some kind of an update or some kind of amendments to this law?
You know, I think that most of the time, especially around domestic violence, it's not a quote unquote sexy topic, right? It's a very uncomfortable topic to be spoken about, whether you're a survivor of domestic violence, a victim, or a family member. It's a very hard situation, and a lot of times survivors or victims of domestic violence are reluctant to even cooperate with the prosecutor's office. So I think bringing light to some of the loopholes in the past years, I believe this is the third time that the governor and lieutenant governor are filing these pieces of legislation. So it's not that it wasn't like they didn't know about it. It's just the fact of trying to fight to really amend some of the loopholes that are currently in our law.
Well, we hope.
Like Kathy said, you know, to be able to really examine a defendant's criminal history, right, with perpetrators of abusive relationships, you usually tend to have patterns of that abuse, right? Whether it be smaller kind of encounters with police or smaller crimes on their board of probation record, to allow for a judge to really examine those patterns would really allow for the prosecutor's office to really show how dangerous an individual can be.
Is it worth asking if there is any notable opposition to this piece?
You know, I don't know definitely as far as the opposition. I do know that there are some people that are concerned with potentially overpopulation of our jails, mass incarceration, some forms of abuse of power in that sense. But, you know, protecting victims of violent crimes should be a priority for our Commonwealth.
I agree with that, Allison. And, you know, I think with this legislation, it really puts it empowers our victims, right? It empowers the victims. And like you said, a lot of the victims are shy or, you know, there's so much stigma put to domestic violence that a lot of them are afraid to even come forward. So I think this puts the ball in their court a little bit. It gives them some empowerment. And we'll see what tomorrow brings.
You know, a lot of the victims that will be testifying tomorrow are very... I don't want to use the term excited, but like you said, empowered, right?
Yes.
But their voices are actually being heard. And most times in criminal proceedings, it's more focused in on the defendant's rights, the defendant's rights, the defendant's rights. And quickly we forget that there is a live victim here that has suffered, you know, if not months, years of abuse and severe physical abuse. And to now kind of put that in the forefront, I think is very critically important.
I do, too. Before you came on, I mentioned H-1507, and you're a co-sponsor of that, an act relative to the definition of attempted murder.
Mm-hmm.
So were you, when you first heard that stabbing was not considered attempted murder, were you shocked by that? Because I know you're a law student or a graduate of a law school.
Yes. You know, having conversations, I've had several conversations with local law enforcement and local prosecutors, you know, in the conflict there. I mean, it's very simple, right? I think if a person deliberately stabs another person, I think their intent is very clear. But to really clarify that in our language and our law, I think was important as well. That's why Josh Cutler and I both, I believe, filed it back in 2018. And excuse me, because I feel like 2020 is a forgotten year. But we did file it in 2019 in that legislative session. But because of, I think, the pandemic, it put a lot of things on hold. So I'm hopeful that going forward that we'll be able to get that piece of legislation out as well.
Yes, I am as well.
Well, Rep. Sullivan,
the survivor of that legislation, she'll be testifying tomorrow as well, which is, her story is very powerful.
Yes, it is.
Well, we hope that the meeting, the public hearing goes well, and we hope to hear results when we speak to you next.
Yes, hopeful. We're hoping for the best, Kevin.
There she is, State Representative Allison Sullivan joining us, talking to us about a dangerousness hearing that's being held tomorrow about a specific bill. Why don't we do this? Why don't we step aside for a couple of moments, and when we come back, we'll talk more with Rep. Lenatra, and also we'll welcome Amy Naples to the conversation. You're tuned in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
About 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced cancer care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
That truck, it pays?
What?
The bumper sticker on that truck says it pays.
Pays? Pays what?
I can't quite read it. Oh, it pays to stay way back.
Ah, what was that?
The truck snapped back a rock. Now I've got a broken windshield.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny and Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINIES. And thank you.
Monday Night Talk on Twitter. Start at 959WATD.com/Monday Night Talk. And don't forget to add hashtag Monday Night Talk to your tweets. And now, more Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
All right, we are back. And the next, I will say, 45 minutes, we are going to be talking a little bit about a special event that our representative is a part of, and that is being presented by the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce, as well as the fine folks over at Fred Astaire Dance Studios. Now, I have to say, it's awesome because I started the conversation with Rep. Lenatra, as I teased earlier, but then it like expanded to Amy. And before you know it, we're like going back and forth with text messages, and it started from just Rep Lenatra, to Amy, to having other folks be a part of the conversation. And that's what this radio station is about. That's what this radio program is about, is to be able to kind of talk about some of the great things that are happening right here in this community, whether it's the northern part of the area of the South Shore, all the way down to the Cape and beyond. So, Amy, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Kevin, and of course, thank you for having me. And Kathy, thanks for letting me join in this evening.
I'm so excited you're
here. Talk about our big event that you are a part of.
Yeah, so talk about the genesis of this, and you know, was there any reservation? Because we are kind of still in a pandemic.
Certainly. So, absolutely. So, originally, Casey Baird, the owner of Fred Astaire Dance Studio Plymouth, approached us last year with this great idea. This event has happened before, as I know you talked about earlier, and she thought, she was actually a recipient of the Plymouth One Fund, and she wanted to give back because she received those funds during such a critical time where there was no financial aid whatsoever, federal aid. Yes. So we were able to help many small businesses. We distributed $85,000 throughout the community to our small businesses. So that kept the lights on. It kept people going. So we're super proud of that. And Casey said, I want to get back. I really want to do something. I think this would be fun. So last year I said, I don't think it's the right time. Let's revisit it. We were still really high. Recently, Plymouth put a mask mandate in place, and that has really impacted our small businesses. Once the mandate came into place, my phone was off the hook. I received over 50 calls from small businesses, very concerned, and they're struggling. So we knew, honestly, like, let's move forward with this event because we need to raise funds. We've really depleted all of the funding out of our one fund, and we need to help our small businesses. That's what the one fund was all about, was, you know, getting money out into the community and supporting our small businesses. So we thought this was a great opportunity. The chamber team came together to identify dancers that we thought would be super fun. In addition to them dancing and showing off their dancing skills, they're also tasked with some fundraising. And I know Kathy has posted it on her Facebook page, and many of our dancers have as well. They're doing amazing. It's going to be a wonderful evening of glitz and glamour and lots of fun, and not too taken too seriously, but we're super excited about it. So that's kind of how it all came about.
So how big of a pool did you have for potential contestants? You're like, oh, you probably, maybe you had like, you instantly can identify four or five and go, oh, this person, yes, this person. But I mean, how many people did the panel, the committee decide, and where's that now?
Well, so can I just say, I don't think Kevin returned his phone call. Is that?
Yes. Yeah. Kevin, we got you on the hook for next year, I think.
You think so?
I think so. I think you'd be an incredible dancer.
It would be ugly. You would scare all the children. They wouldn't want to
see
me dancing.
There's no children at this event. No, it's an evening event.
I was definitely born with two left feet. Well, I would consider it.
Same here. Casey does wonders, though. Fred Astaire does wonders. I have no doubt that everyone's going to put on a great show, learn some incredible dance moves, and have a lot of fun. And I know they already are.
Really?
But the pool was pretty big. We have 750 members.
Okay. But I'm saying, as far as the stars, the people who are going to be out there dancing and competing, how are they? What are you laughing at?
So.
What?
The stars.
They are our stars. 100%.
That's what they're saying.
You were very animated when you said it. I'm sorry. Continue.
I'm supposed to entertain the folks who are tuned in.
Well, we want to hit every industry, you know, a good representation of industry. We know Kathy will say pretty much yes to anything, so she was an easy one for me to text and say, hey, Kathy, what do you think? Because honestly, there's nothing she won't do for our small businesses. She has saying karaoke. I mean, she's so charitable, and she's willing to always step up to the plate. So we thought Kathy would be a great addition. We wanted to have someone from the Plymouth Police Department because they do so much for our community. Yes. They do so much for our small businesses, so we thought that was such an important component too. So I think we've selected some really great people. We also have a Plymouth Select board member, Harry Helm, And of course, our very own Megan Doherty from the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce as well. Jeff Cohen from One Stop Painting. And he has claimed to be the worst dancer possible. So I think he's going to bring it, though. Julie Thompson from PAC TV, as we know, she's joining us tonight. I think she has some experience,
I heard she did.
So, and she's just amazing, and she does so much for our small businesses, too, with PAC TV. Scott Hokanson from Brabo Benefits, another one we said, Scott will do pretty much anything for us. That's an easy one. So we're really excited. And Sandra Smith from RE/MAX Real Estate Center as well. And she is an ambassador and an incoming board member. And she's just a lot of fun. And
we knew she would have a great time.
Isn't she?
Yes, she's wonderful.
So next is the judging panel.
Mm. Yes.
Are you revealing who the judges are, or is that something that's being kept close to the vest?
No, we are. We are. Oh. So we are very, very excited because Casey has secured Tony Dovolani from the Real Dancing with the Stars. Yes, ABC's hit show.
Wow.
The pressure is on.
And he's pretty nice on the eyes, too. So we think that's going to be a good seller. A good seller. So the pressure is on, Kathy, I will admit, to have a professional. And then we have another somewhat professional, I would say. Representative Matthew Muratori is going to be judging for us as well.
Ooh. I've heard he's had some experience on the dance floor.
That's what I've heard,
yes,
too.
Yes, yes. He was actually the MC of the last one.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, I thought he danced.
He has danced in the past, I've been told.
Okay.
I've not yet seen a video.
So, of course, we want to include him, and we thought he would be just a great judge and really have fun with it. And then we had reached out to a small business owner, Jordan Shabbat, that owns Speedwell Tavern.
Yeah.
He, as he says, he's chickened out, which is perfect because he has the best chicken wings in town. He did, and he has so much going on. He's in the middle of opening another restaurant, moving into a new home. And we said, all right, Jordan, you can sit this one out, but you got to be a judge. And I think he's going to be a great representation of the small business community. And I'm sure he's seen some pretty good dance moves at Speedwell Tavern before, too.
So is this strictly when you pick a winner, is it strictly their dance moves, or is there any equation as to their fundraising as well?
So the Mirrorball Trophy will be awarded to the best dancer.
Okay.
We will also have a trophy for the largest fundraiser as well.
That's fantastic.
Just like to mention, I'm in second place right now as fundraising. I was bumped out of first, and I believe by Sandra Smith. So just throwing that out there.
Representative, are you expecting this to be... give us your thoughts on being a part of this.
Oh, I'm excited. Anything Amy asks me to do is always fun. I'm very excited. I was fortunate enough to do this previously, pre-pandemic, for the Plymouth Suicide Coalition.
Yep.
And that was great fun. I can't say I wasn't nervous that day, but it was great, great fun. And I was fortunate enough to bring home that trophy.
Ooh.
So I would love a second trophy to sit beside that one.
Now you get to keep that trophy, right?
I kept that trophy.
So where
do
is
I
it?
Get to keep this trophy?
Of course you
okay.
do.
So where in the house is it? I mean, do you already have like a mantle that you have?
It's in my office. So when I'm in a Zoom, it's over my right shoulder.
That's awesome.
Yes.
What was it like to win?
It was fabulous. I'm not going to lie. No, it was great to win. It was great. My friends came from my girlfriends that I grew up with that I just told you we went to the Salt Caves with were there.
Right.
I had a whole cheering section. They had signs and my parents were there, my husband, my children. It was fun. It was fun.
And if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Amy Naples, who is the executive director of the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce, as well as my passenger for the evening, my co-host, State Rep Kathy Lanatra, representing the 12th Plymouth District. Now, what about the dances? Is there something I should wait until we have some of our contestants here? But, I mean, is it run the gamut as to the dances? Is it just one dance, or is there multiple dances? You would know, wouldn't you?
So the
look at the troubled look. Radio's not a visual medium. She's like,
when you said multiple dances, that
no. It will be
a little bit.
I didn't know if you'd like, you'd have to learn just the one dance, or if you'd
I
have
believe
to
it's just the one, Amy.
It is just the one dance, yes.
She's so nervous.
One song, I believe it's 90 seconds choreographed. So, yes.
It is a long 90 seconds, I'm not going to lie.
It has to be.
Yes.
I would think so.
Let's talk about the partnership with the Fred Astaire Dance Studio. I mean, how has that been?
Amazing. Absolutely amazing. Again, they are donating all of the lessons for the 8 dancers that we have. The lessons are 45 minutes each, and they're going to have 10 of them. So they are donating a substantial amount of time to train our stars. And the partnership has been great. I mean, Casey and her husband, Forrest, are just wonderful, and we're thrilled to be working with them.
And the dancers are just amazing. They're so patient, and they're just exceptional human beings to devote their time to. So they're dedicating their time as well, and they're dedicating for success. So they really want to make you look good, which is nice.
Well, if you look good, they look good.
True.
It's kind
Absolutely.
Of a, it's kind of a win-win, I would think.
Yes,
definitely.
Now, have you set the bar as to fundraising? Is there a goal that you're hoping to meet or exceed?
Oh, yes. I mean, I think my goal would be about $50,000. We are selling tables, and they are going hot for the event. Tickets are selling like crazy. Before we even put the promotional info out there, our dancers have been sharing that out, and it's been going great. We have tasks as the dancers to fundraise as well, so we are asking that they hopefully get about $1,000, if not more, because every little bit, of course, is going to be so helpful to the businesses.
Yeah, and I would think that some of the people that you've already mentioned, they're usually really prominent when it comes to social media and getting the word out about this, I would think, is helpful.
Absolutely. It's so helpful, and there's so many different avenues for them to do so, and a lot of them are very competitive, and they may be worried about dancing, so they may want to be that fundraising champ. So I think that it's going to be so successful.
You know what's awesome? It reminds me of, I'm a reality show kind of a guy. I love Survivor, I like Big Brother. You know, at the end is this big pile of money that you're going to get. You're going to get $1 million, $500. But then there's like fan favor, like you said, is whoever raises the most money. That's that kind of what it's equivalent to in my head.
Yes, I agree.
So, the one thing we have omitted and haven't said is, like, where the heck is this thing happening?
Yes, so it is on Friday, March 11th, and it will be held at Indian Pond Country Club. And doors open at 6:30 p.m. The show will begin at 7:30. And we have all sorts of tickets available. We are sold out of our VIP tables, which are the tables right along the dance floor. But we do have the cha-cha table still available, and it's a table of 8. It will include 2 bottles of wine and an imported cheese and crackers, and that's $300. And then we have the samba table, or ticket. It's a general ticket, includes hors d'oeuvres, and of course the show. And we'll have just a great night. It's going to be a lot of fun. I think it's going to be the event that you're going to be mad if you didn't go. You know what I mean?
I believe so. I mean, everyone's talking about it. So I'm looking forward to it.
How does that make you feel as the head of a overseeing an organization like the Chamber of Commerce?
Oh, so proud. I love to see the community get behind our events and just pulling people together, the collaborations. That's what chambers are all about, is the collaborations and partnerships. And we couldn't do it alone. And we're so thankful for the support of the stars that are willing to do this, and to our sponsors. We have sponsorship opportunities, and those are coming in hot. So I mean, it makes me very proud. And events like this, it's just seeing the community come together is so special for our small businesses, and that's what we work day in and day out for.
And how important is an event like this, or what has it been like planning this out? This had to have been exceptional just to start putting the pieces together.
It's so fun, though. It's an event that we've never done before, so it's, you know, coming up with so much of it. So it's been a lot of fun. There's a lot of moving pieces. Casey has been incredible to work with, and she's really kind of giving us a hand and telling us what we need and what needs to be done. But it's more fun than it is tedious or anything. We love putting on events. This is what we do.
So who's emceeing this? Are you the MC?
We're trying. No, I will be working, of course, and doing some opening remarks and talking about the Plymouth One Fund and all the money raised, how that will be dispersed, and of course introducing our stars. But no, we are trying to confirm our MC, so I don't have that news.
So it's on a hush right now.
It's on a hush.
On a hush. MC in the works.
But we do have one that we are in communication with.
Good. Well, we'll look forward to those details. And as always, and you do a weekly update
yes.
on the South Shore's Morning News.
That's right.
So I'm sure that once that news breaks,
we'll
tune in between you. When's your segment on usually?
Wednesday mornings at 7:40.
You look forward to that, don't you?
Every week. I love it. Rob's the best. I love calling in and chatting with him.
Yeah. And again, I mean, that's the hub of all the information that we put out here on this radio station happens on the South Shore's Morning News.
I agree.
Now, how about a website if folks want to get involved? Do we have details in regards to
that? So you can just go to PlymouthChamber.com. There is a link on that website. You will be redirected to our fundraising site. It's called Give Butter, but it has all of our dancers. And if you are interested in purchasing a table and you have a dancer that you want to support, you can click on them and support them by buying a table or, of course, making a donation.
And again, this is all happening on March 11th. This is a Friday, 7:30 p.m. to 10:30 p.m. Dancing with Our Stars. A fantastic event, and again, being put on to benefit the Plymouth One Fund. And again, if you don't plan on going, I don't think it would hurt to give a donation.
That's right.
Because, again, as it was stated by Amy, it helps those businesses. It helps those in need in the great town of Plymouth. So looking forward to that. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to step aside. I would think that in a couple of moments, we're going to have a couple of our contestants either
yes.
calling in or joining us here in studio. So we'll step aside. Again, you're tuned in to Monday Night Talk. The first hour gone. Hour number two on deck here on 95.9 WATD. Don't go anywhere.
ATD FM Marshfield, WBMS Brockton. This is the South Shore's radio station, 95.9 FM WATD. Streaming online at 95.9WATD.com. And with your smart speaker, just by saying play WATD. Invest your time in listening to Cape Retirement Radio and learn a smarter approach to investing so you can protect your future. Cape Retirement Radio, featuring Chris Letond, Thursday nights at 6:15 and Sunday mornings at 10 on 95.9 WATD.
Dad, you know I'm willing to drive.
Honey, we're all set here.
But your eyes, you even say so yourself, don't like driving at night.
Well, that's why I'm following the plow.
But that's a sander, Dad. You know what they say.
It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
Oh!
Too late.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny and Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINYS. And thank you.
Each year, about one out of two men and one out of three women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced cancer care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center.
Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
Hi, I'm Suzanne Allmendinger with the Marshfield COA Boosters. Our mission is to provide financial resources to the Marshfield Senior Center for programs, supplies, and equipment not covered by the town budget. To get involved or make a donation, please visit our website at marshfieldcoaboosters.org. Thank you, and please continue to support the amazing nonprofit organizations on the South Shore.
They're here. The Thin Mints are back, and the Girl Scout cookie sale is underway.
Along with the favorites like Caramel Delights, Peanut Butter Patties and Shortbreads, and new cookie, Adventurefuls, has been added. And the gluten-free caramel chocolate chip cookies are also available.
Buying Girl Scout cookies supports troop activities while teaching the girls financial and social skills, and it provides girls with exceptional council-sponsored events. In Duxbury, we award camperships to girls using our profits.
Once again, this year, with the help of the Duxbury American Legion, which provides funding to cover shipping costs, and our generous donors, we'll be sending cookies to men and women serving in the military overseas and aboard ships. Last year, we shipped over 700 boxes of cookies in 18 huge cartons.
Watch for a cookie booth in your neighborhood or order from girls via virtual sales or online at GSEMA.
Girl Scout cookies. Try them. You'll love them.
Hi, Frank Cifala here, representing the Brockton Library Foundation. The Brockton Library Foundation is a nonprofit organization that has been supporting the Brockton Public Library System for over 25 years. Saturday, February 12th, 10 a.m. to 4 p.m., the BLF will be sponsoring a winter book sale. Books and DVDs, just two for a dollar. The location is 304 Main Street, Brockton, Mass., at the Main Branch Library. Thank you, and we'll see you there.
Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
All right, we're back. For some reason, my windscreen is gone. Just disappeared. But we have joining us in studio, the Julie Thompson from PAC TV, Executive Director Extraordinaire.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good, thank you. I've been listening to these ladies. They're awesome.
So the idea of having Amy in was just kind of to kind of set everything up.
Yeah.
And then lure the contestants in.
I see.
You're here. I'm here. You're in the spider's web.
Okay. So ask away.
Oh, I have questions.
Okay.
You go ahead.
So
have at it.
Julie.
Yes, Kathleen.
Do you have a dancing background?
Oh, you. Of course I do. Yes. Every little girl takes dancing lessons, or most of them do. But then I was a theater major in college, so I did a lot of choreography, and I taught at a local dance studio here. Kathy Jo Irvine, who's actually from Marshfield in Pembroke, taught for her for years, but I taught adults. So I'm not used to teaching kids. So I'm more into the... I've never done ballroom dancing ever, so I don't know anything about it. I've done tap, jazz, and choreography for like Broadway shows, types of numbers.
Triple threat.
But I haven't danced in 15 years, and I had my right knee replaced, and my left knee is not great. So dancing on heels has become really a challenge.
You only get to do it for 90 seconds, though, right?
It's weird.
That's the room.
But it's hours of prep.
Yeah, it's hours of prep. So I might be dancing on flats.
I was going to say, could you like practice in the flats? Or then?
You'd have to practice in the heels that you're dancing in. It just gives me such respect for ballroom dancers. Well, any dancers anyway that are just at that level. But ballroom dancers especially, just those high heels all the time, forget it.
One thing we neglected to say is they offered us shoes, too. They donated dancing shoes to us as well.
Yeah. Oh, they're wonderful.
Aren't they wonderful?
And I'm so lucky I have Forrest as my partner.
Oh.
And he kind of plays to my personality and what would work for me. He let me pick out the song. It was really great. But we're not telling the song because it's a secret.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you don't want somebody else stealing it.
No.
So you've already started your lessons.
Yes, I've had two.
Hmm.
Yep. Yeah. I'm having another one on Thursday.
I've had eight.
You've had eight?
No, I'm only kidding. I haven't started yet.
So what was the process like of finding out that you were a chosen one?
Well, actually, it's so funny because I saw the ad for this, and I thought I would love to do that. You know, I did. I said that would be fun.
I could see you doing that
because, like, you know, I haven't danced in forever, and so what? So the old lady goes back and puts on her dancing shoes. So I reached out to Amy, and she said it's so funny that you reached out to us because we were going to call you and ask if you'd do this. So it was kind of, I don't know.
And it's kismet. Funny because we were hesitant. We're like, oh, it's Julie. I mean, she works around the clock. She works so much. Are we asking so much of Julie? And I knew she had her knee replacement. And we're like, but she would be so fun. She's so fun. And she does so much for the business community. We knew she would say yes.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And anything that Amy does, anything the Chamber does, I am 1,000% behind. They are just, we helped you with Coachella, which was the first fundraiser for the One Fund.
There was a video, was that a video production, wasn't it?
Yeah. Well, it was in our studio, and it was music, Amy and Costas, it was...
But you live streamed it, didn't you?
Yes.
It was awesome.
It was fabulous.
Awesome. It was fabulous.
I wanted to steal it. It was awesome.
Anything the Chamber does is just it turns to gold. Oh, and we are so grateful to be partners with them. We are so thankful that they're in Plymouth and the surrounding communities. Can't say enough about the Chamber and Amy and her staff. Four people that do the work of like 500. Seriously.
Thank you, Julie. We feel the same about you, though. It's an amazing partnership.
Love fest that way.
We're having a love fest.
It is a love fest.
Just the way if you must. Do what you must. But knowing that we've been dealing with a pandemic, how much of a sigh of relief that this is something that you can get out and do and be amongst folk?
I think people are so... They just want connection. Just look at somebody in the eye instead of through a screen. We're all so tired of that. We really are.
We are.
I think we've all been very patient, and I applaud everyone for what they've all gone through, our restaurant community especially, so the small businesses. But, you know, people are amazing. People are so resilient, and they help each other, and they lift each other up. And you'll see one person's really down, and somebody else is up, and they'll get together, and they'll like put them in a blender. And people work beautifully together. When people can come together with a common cause, and in this case, our common enemy, obviously, is the virus. Mm. Mm-hmm. So we have a common enemy that we can all get together and fight, which I think, in a lot of ways, it's simplistic, but it does bring people closer together.
Now, one of my patented questions for all the contestants is, if you being someone who is, you're used to being in front of the camera, you're used to talking to people.
Yeah.
Is it the same being in front of a live audience? Because you're going to be in front of a live audience showing what you can do.
Yeah, it's so funny because that's how I started in theater. It's all live audience. Mm-hmm. And when you practice and there's no audience, it's so different because you feed off an audience. But when you haven't done that in a long time, and what we do at PAC TV is in front of a live audience. We filmed tape. So it's a whole different ballgame. But what you have to remember is that if you look nervous, they're going to be nervous for you. If you're not nervous, the audience is really going to enjoy it. So make an ass out of yourself, have a blast, you know, and everybody will have fun. And that's really what it's all about. And none of us are professional dancers, except Fred Astaire people. So, you know, I'll probably fall down, but I don't really care. If I raise a lot of money for the One Fund, who cares?
Right.
So how has the knee been since the replacement? Is it like new? I know folks who've had it done, they're like, you know, after the rehab and everything, it's like...
It's not bad. I mean, I can't, like, kneel on it. It's so weird. You can't kneel on a fake knee because it just feels like you're kneeling on rocks.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Ooh.
But other than that, it's great. But I had it done because I didn't have any cartilage, and I don't have any cartilage in the other knee either. So I have one fake knee, and I have a knee with no cartilage. But I can still walk and talk and dance.
You are a trooper.
I just don't think I can do it on 3-inch heels.
So would you like to welcome our guest? I believe we have Casey on the line.
Oh, we do. I would love to welcome Casey. Casey, this is Kathy. How are you?
Hey, I'm great, Kathy. How are you?
I'm great. I'm so glad you could join us.
I am very, very, very excited to be here tonight, well, on the phone tonight, and to get this ball rolling for this event. It's something I've wanted to do for a really long time. So thank you for making this happen.
Well, it was, I'm sure, the Plymouth Area Chamber that made it happen as well, and you're working with the greatest people. So what's it like for the staff at Fred Astaire to be involved in an event like this?
So this is something that really makes us happy. Like, we love teaching, right? But this just gives it another layer where we have a whole new purpose. And this one's personal because, you know what? The One Fund actually helped us out in 2020. At our lowest point, when it was really, really scary, the One Fund came through for us and actually just gave us a little something to keep us going. So to be able to host or help host this event and give back and help our fellow businesses, it's really important to all of us as a staff that we get to do that.
That's great. And I'm sure they develop relationships with the people they're dancing with.
Absolutely. We've done a couple of these events for various charities, and it's a great way to get to know somebody new and to push them out of their comfort zone and to really prove to someone that they can do something that they didn't think was possible. And that's the biggest reward for us. So it's really a lot of fun. I hope I get to do it all the time.
You know, that's the biggest reward, too, for the competitors. I felt that last time. I did something I never thought I could do. And the patience of your instructors are just amazing. I mean, they're fun, they're patient, and you really feel like a superstar before you get on that dance floor.
Well, you were a superstar on that dance floor.
I set you up for that.
Yeah.
So technically, you're the defending champion. Technically, no?
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm coming after you.
I'm nervous now.
That's a lot of pressure.
It's a lot of pressure. I may have to buy 10 visits, too.
Who are some of your dancers, Casey, who are involved with this? Who are doing the trainings with the Julies, with the Mark Higgins, with the Jeffs?
Absolutely. So I have, my husband and I own the studio together. So I'm Casey, my husband is Forrest, and we've had the studio for just about 14 years now. And we have three professional dancers on our staff right now. So we have Miss Sasha Fine, who is a graduate of Dean College with a dance degree, who came to us about 4 years ago. We have Caitlin Backholm, who is a theater and musical arts performer that happened to fall in our lap about 3 years ago. And then we have Mr. Brendan Gill, who is a highly competitive, professional, smooth dancer on the national competition circuit. And he's been with us for just about 5 years now. And they all really love teaching and sharing their passion for dance. And they all have different strengths and different ways to pull the best out of people. So I love watching them work with our different volunteers and see them develop the skills in our volunteers, but also develop their confidence as well.
So does each dancer have to do, there's eight contestants, right?
There is,
there's
yes.
Eight contestants, correct.
All right, so you have three instructors. Are you also teaching dance and working? What's happening here? Because I'm getting that.
So the original plan was we were going to try for 10 dancers so that each instructor had two volunteers to work with. And then it worked out that eight people decided that this is the right time for them to try and do this. So I took myself out of the running just the way that the numbers worked out. So I'm the only pro not dancing. And I'm sad about that, but it also leaves me the opportunity to kind of oversee and have my fingers in everybody else's routines and help them with creating the best possible shows. So everyone else has two partners, and hopefully everybody, all of our volunteers understand that our pros have two partners, and they're going to make them both shine.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
And it's a heck of a concept as well. How will you stagger this? And will there be differences in dances? I mean, what are some of the dances that are selected?
Sure. So I'm trying very hard to make sure that we have a wide variety in the dances that we have. So you'll see some swing, you'll see some tango, some salsa, a little quick step, all different forms of ballroom and Latin dancing. And the way that we are choosing the music, I won't give anyone songs away, but we are trying to tie them into what everyone does for a living. So it's sort of a playful theme that I think the audience will really enjoy. And we've come up with some fun songs so far that, again, do allow us to get creative with the different styles of dance. And I think some of these people are really going to surprise you.
Now, I've just been given a word that Mark Higgins a Plymouth police officer, is also joining us on the line. Mark, welcome to the conversation.
How are you all doing?
We're doing pretty good. Now, I don't know how well you're going to be able to hear Casey. Casey is also on the phone line, so we'll try to make sure that when we're asking questions that we're going to make sure we say Casey or Mark, so both don't step over each other. Julie, I also give you carte blanche if you want to ask any questions or there's something that we don't ask here in the next half an hour.
Okay.
Feel free.
Sizing up the competition.
Sizing up the competition.
So, Mark, do you have any dance background?
that was the first question, by the way.
Well, that's my first question. All right, well, my dance background is usually at weddings.
Yep.
After about, four or five drinks, I usually get on the dance floor.
same here.
No professional dance classes, nothing to that effect.
Now, have you taken any lessons yet, Mark?
No, I have not. Actually, my first lesson is going to be noon on Thursday. Excited about that.
Now, are you nervous?
Oh, no. No, absolutely not. No.
Oh, I love the confidence.
No, I like making a fool out of myself, so this is right up my alley.
But is this like the first type of competition that you've ever been a part of, or you know, especially when it's going to be a live audience?
As far as dance competition, yep, that's going to be the first for me. So, but as far as competitions go on a stage, I'll probably date myself back in high school. But as of recently, no, this will be my first real outgoing competition with judges and family and friends and everybody else watching.
And he has quite an audience coming. He has quite a number of tables reserved. So I think Mark is going to bring it.
Really?
Oh, right. Yeah, I do.
I'm afraid of you, Mark.
I'm intrigued. How many tables have you sold, Mark?
Nothing to be afraid about.
So tell us about the process. How were you approached, or how did you get word? Was it like the chief called you to the office?
Hey, he's not listening to the radio show. a good dear friend of mine is a captain, and he was informed by the chief that the chamber was looking for a volunteer to join in on this fundraising endeavor. However, he was reluctant to step up and dance, but he's seen me on the dance floor many a times over our career and figured that this would be right up my alley. So he nominated me prior to me knowing of it.
Knowing
that, I enjoy these things, I was very excited when I found out.
I think Captain LeBreton had chickened out, another one that had chickened out.
I can't confirm nor deny.
I don't blame you. I don't blame you.
Man.
He is my captain, I have to say. Yeah.
He's a good guy. He's a great guy.
Yeah, he has planned that up.
So Casey, when you hear someone like Marco admitting that he basically is a clean slate, he might dance at weddings, but he's not somebody, is that encouraging that you have, at least you have somebody who's moldable?
Yeah, exactly. It means there's no bad habits to break. So it is encouraging and exciting. And so long as you're open to hearing what we have to say and to going with the flow, it's going to be a great experience. So, and I love, Mark, how you were voluntold that you're going to do that.
Yeah, and talk about bad habits. So the first time I was in with Forrest with my first lesson, after we were dancing for a while together, he said, "You do know that I'm going to lead, don't you?" Because I guess I kept trying to lead because I was just so used to being the teacher and the choreographer, never doing this kind of thing. But I, from then on, I said, "Oh, right, you're right, you're the leading it." Okay, I'll shut up.
It's funny.
Julie.
Go ahead, Casey.
Oh, I was just going to say, Julie, that is the hardest thing for dancers. Like, I also grew up in tap, jazz, and ballet and dancing on my own, and I didn't discover ballroom till around college. So that is the hardest thing for those of us who have done individual dancing to let go of, which is, okay, dancing with somebody is very different than dancing on your own, and it's really developing a relationship, but also understanding the physics and the dynamics of working with a partner, which is fun, but also super challenging. So I feel you went, because he tells me all the time, he's like, would you let me lead?
Yeah. I'm so glad, though, because it's a good discipline.
Yeah.
You know, he's wonderful. You guys are wonderful.
Oh,
okay, I'm done.
Thank you.
But when you and the husband are out, let's say you go to a wedding.
Yeah.
Are you the one who's leading?
Well,
was it? Or are you the only one who's out on the dance floor with the girls?
Well, you know what? People don't really do...
They don't dance anymore.
Traditional male-female dances anymore.
It's true.
You know, nobody... Or either you're slow dancing and, like, anybody can do that. You step. Or you got... Once in a while, you have people that have, like, taken ballroom dancing classes and everybody kind of steps aside and watches them dance. Because nobody does it anymore. So it's really kind of romantic. It's like from the 30s and the 40s and, you know, Fred and Ginger, obviously, right?
Sure. It's interesting you say that. Now, so would you have taken lessons if it wasn't for this competition? Would you have thought about it?
No, but you know what? Now I really want to. I've said I want to get back into dance, and I know I can't, like, do what I did before.
Sure.
I just can't. But this is just, it's a wonderful, energetic, controlled dance. You're not out of control. And my husband's interested in it too. So we might,
I'll be joining you because my husband wanted to do it last time and then the pandemic hit. But they have such a great community there too. The community is amazing. We met a lot of their students at the last fundraiser.
Yeah. Yeah. The Fred Astaire, I liked their Facebook page, and I can't believe all the things that you have all the time. You have all kinds of different things and different kinds of classes, and I'm kind of getting excited, Casey. I got to admit it.
Yay! That makes me so happy. And, you know, being a part of this company, it's really, you know, helped us, create all of these different activities. You know, Fred Astaire is a company. We're celebrating 75 years, as an entity. Wow. So while I'd like to take credit for a lot of the ideas, a lot of it is also just, like, this is what our company does. And it's just bringing dance to people who think that they can't dance and giving you opportunities and places to use it. You know, one of the famous quotes that I love that Mr. Astaire has said is that, you know, some people seem to think that all the great dancers are born, but all the great dancers he's ever known were taught or trained, right? So it's just a skill like anything else. And I'm happy that you all are excited to, you know, start learning more and using it more, because I want you to be those people at the wedding that kind of clear the floor and everybody looks at you and goes, oh, that looks good. I want to do that too.
Yes, that's exactly what I'm talking about.
So I
do a great Carlton Banks from the Fresh Prince.
I was going to say, Mark, you know, you haven't taken a lesson yet, but I would be curious if you feel the same way that Julie does and Rep Lenatra feels as far as their significant others, as far as wanting to go and take lessons.
Yeah, they're never really crossed that, because, I mean, I think I'm a great dancer by myself, but, you know, my girlfriend is kind of, she rolls her eyes at me when she sees me on the dance floor. And, you know, she tells me to stop, but it's all in fun. It's all having a good time. And, you know, to actually have some sort of, lesson plan and actually be taught something formal, I think would actually probably better my embarrassment level with everybody else watching me. So it would be good.
I would ask you this, Mark. What has it been like trying to get word out that you are going to be a part of this competition? Has it been easy for you? Are you someone who is, you know, willing to put the word out there to get folks to donate a couple of dollars to go towards the Plymouth One Fund?
Yes. I have a great family network, family and friends that have been very supportive, you know, tongue-in-cheek, and they're more or less paying to see me up there and watch this take off. But, once we found out about it, we were able to, set it up through Facebook and Instagram, and, my mother, who's, you know, loves her baby boy. Was very big on putting stuff out there. I mean, I put it out, and actually my girlfriend Liz, who's actually, she works for the Cape Cod Chamber of Commerce, and she was able to put out to her friends. So we were slowly crawling up there, and looking hopefully to at least get to that $1,000 goal, if not far more than that, in the upcoming weeks.
This is a matter of getting to speak with some of the other guys you work with in the police department and seeing if they will also, maybe it spreads to the fire department too.
So I want to make sure that we do this first because, of course, there's always a competition between police and fire. So we're going to do it first, and then they can join us next year, and hopefully we can have maybe a police fire battle amongst us on the dance floor.
Oh, I like it. You heard it here.
Yep. So you could have you could have a Dancing with Our Stars red versus blue.
Right? Yeah.
Print that money.
I think the ladies would sell that out.
The ladies would sell that one out.
West Side Story dance off.
There you go.
I was thinking more Magic Mike.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, wow, Casey.
I'm with you, Casey.
Okay.
If you are just tuning in, just so you, some of the voices that you are hearing on your radio dial, of course, I'm my co-host for the evening, and actually the inspiration for making this a bigger conversation than just talking with her state rep, Kathy Lenatra, as well as Amy Naples, executive director of the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce, the great Julie Thompson from PAC TV, executive director. We have Plymouth Police Officer Mark Higgins, and of course Casey Bard from the Fred Astaire Dance Studio. Now, is there something we haven't asked yet, but we got to make sure we ask before we say goodbye in about 10 minutes?
I want to ask about judges. Like, how do you pick them, and how many are there, and what are their criteria?
Okay, so our judges, three have already been established. Casey is tasked with one more. As I said earlier, we are super excited because Casey has secured Tony Dovitlani, the former dancer with ABC's hit show, Dancing with the Stars. And our state representative, Matthew Muratori, has also agreed to participate as a judge. And one of our favorites...
He MC'd one year.
He was in it, right?
He MC'd, but Kathy
years
said he also
ago,
danced.
I think... He predated me. He was the MC last time, but I do believe that he has danced in it. If you would like to call in and let us know, that would be great.
I hope he's listening. Yeah. He was absolutely honored to be a judge and was thrilled he was not asked to dance. So that worked out great. And then Julie, a good friend of yours, good friend of all of ours, really, from Speedwell Tavern, Jordan Chabot, is
fabulous.
Also one of our judges. He was supposed to dance, but as he says, he has chickened out. appropriately said.
Yeah.
But he's off the hook this year, but not next year. You'll see the dancing shoes on him next year. He has a lot going on, but he is obviously such a great face of our small business community, so we wanted to make sure Jordan was included.
Absolutely.
So we should ask Casey, how did they go about who got what dance? Can you discuss that?
Sure, absolutely. So again, it's sort of tied into the songs that we chose. And, you know, some songs are more appropriate for certain styles of dance than others. And also we wanted to play to the unexpected in some cases. So I was texting with Mark earlier today, sorting out his lessons and figuring out what style he's going to dance. And I have a few different ideas for him, but... Mark, are you okay with me sharing what we had texted back and forth about?
That was a yes.
I couldn't quite hear him, but so we're thinking of having Mark do a tango, which is very bold and strong and sexy. I think you know.
Mark's getting all excited now.
I know. So I hear Mark is like a really high energy, like, you know, I'm going to get on the dance floor and throw down kind of guy, but I really want to put all that energy into like a very masculine, very strong dance, a very passionate dance, and I want to see him bring the house down with a style that I think is sort of unexpected for him. You know, assigning styles, again, is based on the songs that we've chosen, but also trying to really up the entertainment factor and give the audience something that's maybe a little unexpected and surprising.
Interesting
is right.
Yeah. Would you like to divulge? Do you know
what? No, I'm not divulging. It's a secret.
It's a secret.
Yes.
Secret weapon.
What about Kathy?
Secret song.
So she doesn't know.
No, we don't want the song, but the dance.
Not the song.
It's a little bit of everything, I think.
Ooh.
So with Kathy, we haven't officially finalized the song yet, but I told Kathy via email that because she's the reigning champion of a prior Dancing with the Stars event, and I want to make clear that the prior event was separate from what we're doing now. So it was a separate organization, and I love the fact that we have people crossing over between the two. But Kathy is the reigning champion of that event, coming over to this one. And I said, well, since you've done this before, I want to throw an extra challenge at you and maybe pick a style of dance that we wouldn't throw at a beginner. So we're still trying to finalize her song, but I am thinking of asking you to do maybe like a Viennese waltz, Kathy, which is a little bit challenging.
It's got to be a level playing field.
Wait, I can't even pronounce that. What was that?
The Viennese waltz. Viennese waltz, which is a
girl
waltz. So it's not a typical slow waltz.
You look perplexed.
And it's quite challenging.
It sounds challenging.
You love a challenge, though.
I do love a challenge. I do love a challenge.
And you're competitive.
Am I right? Just a tad bit. Yeah, just a tad bit. Okay.
Yeah.
A waltz.
And Julie, how competitive are you?
Oh, I'm not really. I mean, I just want to have so much fun.
It will be fun.
I want this night to raise so much money for the One Fund. I want to blow it out of the water.
That's no surprise to me whatsoever that she would say that. She's been such a huge supporter financially, of course, with Coachella. I mean, if it wasn't for Julie, that would never have happened.
No, PAC-TV.
PAC-TV.
The staff.
Everybody.
Everybody.
And Mark, are you competitive?
Oh, I'm very competitive. That's where this is coming into play, right up my alley.
Okay.
So. Awesome.
Now, is this going to be with cameras or without? Will there be a behind-the-scenes type of a production going on, or is this kind of on the down low?
Well,
go ahead.
Okay, I was going to say, can I jump in? I have been doing some filming of the initial lessons, not for blackmail purposes, for an actual maybe B-roll package.
We're working on some things, right, Casey? We want to put some teasers out there and put something else together for the show, for the night of.
For the night of?
Yes. You want to help?
No, I think we definitely need to capture this for posterity. Mm-hmm. So we'll talk, Amy.
Awesome. So this means when we're going to practice, we can put the scrunchie on top of the head and no makeup. Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
We'll give you a heads up. Thank you. No problem.
See, I'm looking forward to that now.
Yeah.
Now, is there an idea maybe to capture it in its entirety or just little snippets to also promote for maybe next year when you do it as well? And these are last year's.
Amy and I will make all this.
Stay tuned.
Yeah, stay tuned for more info.
All stuff to be shared.
I'd like to be part of the editing process.
Yeah.
Really?
No, you can't edit anything, Ms. Lenatra. We will keep everything in.
Anything we haven't touched upon during this segment? Anything? Mark? Casey?
I wasn't a part of the beginning of the conversation, but I just want to thank Amy and the entire chamber team and all of the volunteers for running with this idea and making this happen. And I can't say enough about how wonderful Amy, you and your team are simply amazing. And everyone that I've met so far and that I've talked with about dancing in this event has been so open and willing to give it a try, and they trust us, and I appreciate that so very much. So I just want to say thank you.
No, thank you, Casey. We couldn't have this event without you. You're the one who came up with the idea. You know, you've been persistent, not in a bad way, but about, you know, continuing it, and I'm so glad we did it. I think this is the perfect timing, especially with recent affairs, with the, you know, the new variant with COVID and just the impact locally that it's had on our small businesses, and I think now is the perfect time. So it couldn't have worked out any better. I'm so appreciative of all the time you're donating, not even just the dancers, but you personally are donating so much time behind the scenes. So I'm super thankful. Another love fest.
Yeah. And if I could just say,
love fest.
I've never been in Fred Astaire Dance Studios before, and when I walked in, they were having a teacher's meeting, and every one of them just came out and greeted me and just said, hi, welcome. And the place is spotless, and it's gorgeous, and it's the kind of place you walk in and you feel like, hey, they care. They really care.
Appearance is everything.
And they truly do. They truly, what great people. Casey, I'm giving you an advertisement here, honey.
Oh my God, thank you.
You're awesome.
I'm like blushing, and I'm turning beet red.
They are the best.
You guys are so great. Really are.
Thank you.
Does this set the bar for future events that the chamber has? I kind of feel like this one is going to. It's good, especially at least for 2022.
Oh, yeah. I hopefully, as long as Casey and Forrest want to work with us again, I think this is definitely going to happen each year.
So it'll become a signature event, possibly?
I think so. You know, all of our events, we try to hit out of the park, and, you know, we will work tirelessly to make this a huge success. I have no doubt we have great sponsorship opportunities. Those are selling so fast. As I said, tickets are flying off. Like, we're going to be sold out in a couple of days. There's no doubt. So we're excited. We hope this is a long time collaboration with Fred Astaire.
Yeah, this is more than a month away as well.
Oh, yeah. So it gives you guys 7 weeks.
Plenty of time, yeah. To...
How many weeks?
Seven.
You got to get...
Plenty of time.
Dance a girl.
You got to get moving, girl. Yeah.
You got a championship to kind of defend, yeah? Even though it's a process.
No pressure. No pressure at all.
I'm coming
after
you,
and I'm doing a waltz, and I can't even pronounce the first word of the waltz. This is great.
Any information you want to give away in regards to this event?
Absolutely. So, of course, if you're interested in joining us for a glitz and glamour and wonderful evening for the Plymouth One Fund, and, of course, seeing all of our amazing dancers, you can sign up by visiting plymouthchamber.com. You can follow us on Facebook or Instagram. We will be putting out some spotlights in the next week of the dancers. We are creating some fun little bios that they don't know about, just little tidbits that we know about them that really draws in the people. We try to be a very fun chamber, super engaged, and people like to learn about people outside of their occupation, and I think that's important. We always do that with our team, you know, like just sharing out things about us that normally people wouldn't find out, you know, without sharing it. So we're going to do that with our stars. So we're super excited. Again, if you're interested in being a part of it and joining us, just reach out and sign up, because tickets are selling fast, so hurry up.
I will say, is I've had a chance to speak with, I mean, over the years that I've been doing this, folks who have put together events for chambers, and I feel as though, with your leadership, moving this forward, it's an exciting event. And again, I've attended other events and had conversations with other executive directors, and no shade to them, but you come with such an exuberance that I want to attend. I may want to dance. I don't know.
Oh, next year, Kevin, we got you.
I'm not from Plymouth, though.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
And
it's not only how they put together events, but the marketing of the events.
It's fantastic.
It are always so unique and so... aesthetic. You just got it, kiddo. You guys are just...
They're amazing.
I'm the number one fan of the Plymouth Chamber.
Thank you.
Break out the pom-poms.
Same. Really.
Mark, anything you want to say in closing before we say goodbye to you, sir?
I appreciate everything that everybody's doing with this, and, you know, the effort that's gone forth with Fred Astaire and the Plymouth Chamber and the One Fund. You know, I'm a lifelong Plymouth resident, and it's an honor to be able to, you know, of course, you know, while I'm not working, be a part of the community, but also help out, you know, the small businesses within the community. So, you know, very, very excited about, you know, the opportunity to represent the department and, you know, show off my happy feet when I get out there.
I have
one request, though. I'm not sure how we do this. Maybe we can talk later when we get off the phone. But since I was selected for this unwillingly, I think maybe we can try to get, like, Captain LeBreton to introduce me when I come out. At least make him.
I don't see why not.
I think that'd be a good payment plan.
Mark, I'm happy to do whatever.
I love every moment of this.
Okay.
Casey, anything you want to say to close out the segment?
Just once again, just thank you everyone for being a part of this and for making this happen. And I know we're going to put on a really incredible show, and I can't wait for everyone to see the results of everyone's hard work.
Well, I want to wish you guys the best of luck, as they would say in theater, break a leg.
Yep.
All of you, not literally, though, because you have to dance.
Yeah.
And I want to thank Rep. Winatra and Amy Naples for helping put this together, and those who were willing to participate, like Julie and Mark and Casey, that it was a fun segment to do.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the results of the particular competition. I want to know who won as well.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Whether you're going to get a second trophy to put with the first, or Julie's going to be able to wrestle it away, or doubt it. Mark is going to be, you know, having it on display at the police department. I mean, I want to hear what happens, so we'll have a follow-up on this.
Absolutely, Kevin. We would love that. And as always, thank you so much for including us and, of course, you know, sharing all the great information, especially this event that's so important to us. The Plymouth One Fund is near and dear to my heart. It was, you know, a time that we didn't know what was going to happen, and, you know, small businesses were so concerned about the outcome of their business. So we are thrilled that we were able to sustain many of them, and we've fared the storm fairly well, and we need to continue to do so. So definitely, if you're not attending, get out and donate.
There you go.
Thank you, Kevin, very much for doing this. You're great.
It's about community.
Yeah, thank you, Kevin. You're great. You're
definitely
great
about
guy.
Community.
Yep.
We are going to step aside. There's one segment left, but fear not. We're going to speak with Paula Fleming. Are you thinking about buying a video doorbell? Let's give you some tips before you do that. You're tuned in to Monday Night Talk here on 95.9 WATD.
Is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.
Each year, about 1 out of 2 men and 1 out of 3 women will develop cancer. But there's good news. Today's cancer survival odds are much better than 2 or even 3 years ago. Things move that fast. So if you're diagnosed, be sure to have someone in your corner who is on top of all the latest cancer treatments and techniques, the latest research, the newest equipment, all the newest medicines available through clinical trials. And speaking of corners, here's more good news. Advanced Cancer Care is now just around the corner. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare treats patients locally, with all oncology services and specialties conveniently housed under one roof. The center is affiliated with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center, so you'll be seen by Harvard Medical Faculty physicians and oncologists. The Green Cancer Center at Signature Healthcare, in affiliation with Beth Israel Deaconess Medical Center. Cancer has just met its match. Find out why at mysignaturecare.org/cancercare.
Dad, you know I'm willing to drive.
Honey, we're all set here.
But your eyes, you even say so yourself, don't like driving at night.
Well, that's why I'm following the plow.
But that's a sander, Dad. You know what they say.
It pays to stay way back.
It pays to stay way back.
Oh!
Too late.
I'm Peter Brown of Tiny & Sons Auto Glass in Pembroke. It pays to stay way back. However, if your windshield is broken, just call 1-888-64-TINYS. And thank you.
Download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi.
We have returned for the final segment. We are going to be speaking with the chief spokesperson for the local Better Business Bureau. She is none other than Paula Fleming. She is a reoccurring guest that we have been fortunate to have on to talk about better ways to keep you informed of scams and, you know, people out there who, you know, want to take advantage of somebody who is unsuspecting. Paula, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
So the idea of today's conversation is kind of twofold. One, we'll be talking about, as you all may or may not know, that the federal government has made it possible for folks to be able to get free COVID-19 tests. Well, there are folks out there who are looking to get your information, and we're going to talk about being aware of any phony forms and what to be on the watch for when it comes to being able to get your free tests. Mm-hmm. Later in this conversation, we're going to talk about the latest craze. I should say latest, but everybody wants to do it. And that is when you want to get a doorbell, but you want to get a video doorbell. Well, the Better Business Bureau wants you to beware, and we're going to talk about some of the things to keep an eye on when purchasing a doorbell. So let's start off with talking about the phony forms when it comes to signing up with your COVID-19 tests.
Sure. Well, it's exciting because the U.S. Government has now made it available that there are free at-home COVID-19 tests through the new Biden administration program. But we are encouraging people to take their time, watch out for lookalike websites when requesting tests. The scam sites oftentimes ask for personal or payment information, such as your social security number, credit card information, things you would not have to give. So we're encouraging people to take advantage of this program, get your free test, but do so when you go to the reliable website.
Yeah, my understanding, now myself, I already put my order in, and it was relatively easy. But what if they ask for anything more than just my name and my address? That should automatically set off flags, right?
Correct. The real page does not ask for payment or your social security number. So if you come across a page that asks for either of those two items, it's a red flag. So we are encouraging people, you can find the link at bbb.org, but go directly to the special.usps.com/testkits. And we have that again on bbb.org. It's rather a slightly longer URL link. But scammers tend to often swap out a letter or two so it looks like the legitimate website. So again, it's important, take advantage of the government program, get your free test, because we all know they've been hard to come by when you go into the local stores. And, you know, make sure that you're protecting your personal and financial information.
How much feedback have you heard in regards to this? Have you been hearing a lot of stories as to how folks have been tricked?
I'm actually happy to say that I've heard even from senior citizens that it's very easy to go on. It's just being able to differentiate the fake sites to the real site. So once they get to the real site, it's a very easy process. It's just confusing if they come across one of those scam sites that it's really hard to tell. So that's why we're encouraging people to know the actual URL, look out for spelling errors, and go directly to the government program.
Yeah, we're speaking with Paula Fleming, and she is the chief spokesperson for your local Better Business Bureau, and we're proud to have her on a regular basis just to keep you up to speed of the latest scams, because they are basically never ending, aren't they?
They are. Unfortunately, it's job security for me, but not great for your listeners and viewers out there.
Have you ever come across a scam you're like, oh, I can't believe that folks are trying to do this or trying to do that?
Well, I've been doing this for 20 years, and there's always different variations of what seems to be scams that have been going on forever. And what I mean by that, it always breaks down to they want your personal or financial information, and it's just how they go about extracting that information from you. So whether it's a pandemic or, you know, a natural disaster, or it's the holidays, or, you know, Giving Tuesday, it's how they are getting at you. And now, obviously, all of us are on social media in one form, whether it's Facebook, LinkedIn, and they can get at you through that as well. So they're very savvy. They're very aware of what's transpiring in our communities or, you know, across the U.S., Mexico, Canada, and they take advantage of that. So that is why we came out with BBB Scam Tracker, so people could actually go in and look, okay, here's what's transpiring right now in our communities, and they can arm themselves with knowledge to protect themselves.
And have you noticed, again, you know, two decades in this particular field, going into our third year of a pandemic, have you noticed that there's been a slight uptick, or it's increased greatly because of the disposition we're in?
I think every new chapter of this pandemic brings different types of scams. So now, obviously, because it's the free tests, then we'll see the trickling in of scams that transpire surrounding that. Back when the pandemic first started, it was people that were really fearful, and the scam artists were preying on that and misinformation and information, you know, just preying on fear. And going after people, whether it's, you know, before even at-home tests were available, claiming they were available, you know. So I think it's been pretty steady that we continue to see scams surrounding the pandemic. It's just which variation, what's happening right now.
And have you heard anything in regards to any problems with the federal government? Again, just as outside of the BBB, but, you know, I know that there's been if there were problems, or there have been problems. If you live in an apartment building, you know, if you got four or five people who live in a building, you know, that you can't, you know, the first person who orders their test kit is okay. But if anybody else does for that same address, it can be problematic too.
I have not heard of that locally, no. So that's a good thing, but that doesn't mean it's not happening. Better Business Bureau is just one organization in which people complain to. Oftentimes they'll go directly to the government, the postal office, attorney general's office. So locally, I have not heard of that yet.
So the past week, the Better Business Bureau has published a guide to purchasing a video doorbell. What was the antithesis behind putting out this information?
Well, they're extremely popular, video doorbells. And I think it's our job as the Better Business Bureau to provide factual information for consumers when they're making a purchase, whether it's a product or a service. And video doorbells have been up and coming, and I don't know many households that don't have them. So our job here is just to provide information on what to look out for, make it easier to keep an eye on your home while you're away, but do so with the ability of knowing what exactly you're purchasing.
So what are some of the key things we should consider if we're going to purchase a video doorbell?
Well, what I never even thought of when I purchased mine was know your power source. So if you have an existing doorbell, check to see if it's hardwired or battery powered. That is important. This means you can purchase a hardwired video doorbell if there's two wires and use an existing connection. And that's relatively easy. But if there are no wires or then you can actually get one that may need to be recharged or is battery operated. So there's a big differential there. If you're like me and you're not very savvy when it comes to this, just ask someone within the household or a friend or family member before you make the purchase, because they're not cheap. So knowing your power source is important. I would also say, think about video storage. Doorbell cameras start recording when someone approaches. I think it's very handy to know if someone's, knocking at the door, who is it, or if it's an Amazon package, for example, that's dropped off. But it also might be an animal that's running by or a car that's driving by. So you want to know what is involved with the storage of the camera.
Yep. And the next one on the list is quality. And I think I do video work, and quality is everything. And if, in fact, you have an incident and you have a camera that is a low quality as far as the resolution.
Grainy.
Mm. Yeah, if it's grainy, and if you're trying to get to you got like a porch pirate, someone stealing, packages off your off of your porch or off of your front doorstep. You want to be able to have the greatest detail. Does that mean you get a 4K doorbell if they even exist? No. But something that has a decent quality, I would think, would be something to consider. Yes?
I think definitely you bring up a valid point. If you're going to invest in one, you want to be able to see the subjects that are at your doorstep for sure.
So then when we're talking about video, the other side of that coin is audio. What should we consider regarding audio?
Well, what I think is really cool for audio is when you can talk through the camera. Not everyone needs that ability or cares for that ability. So ask yourself if that is an option that you would like to have. There are benefits behind it, but not all give you the ability to do that. So if the feature is important to you, then you want to do your research and make sure you get a camera that meets those requirements of the ability. Again, if you're at work, can you talk through it to whoever is at your home or at your doorstep?
And do you find, do you have a video doorbell yourself?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we have Ring cameras throughout the home. I think it's great for having teenagers to monitor things. I also think it's great for deliveries. And we have two dogs, so it's great if you just want to check in if they're roaming around out in the backyard, for example.
What else do we want to consider if we are going to invest in a smart doorbell?
Well, if you're going to use Alexa or a Google Assistant, then you want to make sure that you're very clear on the abilities, again, of that camera. We talked about the ability to talk through the camera, but you want to know, is it compatible with other smart devices? And if you're not sure, please ask the person in which, that can help you. Either, if you're buying it online, ask the chat assistant. If you're going into the store, ask an expert at the store. It's important that you know before you purchase the camera what is actually provided through the service.
So here's where this kind of falls into your realm, the Better Business Bureau, protecting the citizens here in the local area, and that is hackers. What should we keep in mind when it comes to hackers?
Well, there's accounts that are associated with the video doorbells, and at times throughout the United States, we have had reports that of people that have fallen victim to hackers. So keep your doorbell information safe by using a unique ID along with a strong password. We encourage that with everything that you use, whether it's a smartphone or like we're talking about the video doorbell or your Chromebook, your laptop, your at-home computers. Don't use the same user ID for multiple accounts, because that could make you vulnerable if there's one single data breach, but it's the same password and information for everything. Take advantage of two-step verification to add an extra layer of protection. And don't share doorbell videos on social media. I would encourage you not to do that, although I too find them a tad funny when I come across the funny ones, either on TikTok or social media platforms. But just be cautious on what you're sharing on these accounts, and try and keep the software updated, as well as, again, strong passwords.
Yeah, and you know, I have found that the two-step authentication system is very helpful, because folks may be able to get one piece of information. Mm-hmm. But not, I think it's hardly ever, and you could probably give me background on it. I think it's tougher to get two sources of authenticate, you know, to get into the system than just the one.
Correct. Yes. It's much more difficult if you have two-step to get into the account, because what's happening is, say, if you're getting onto your laptop, you have two-step, your cell phone might get, you know, okay, is this you is trying to log in out of Natick, Massachusetts, or wherever you may reside. So yeah, just that extra layer of protection is important.
You also limit the number of people that you share your information with. So if you, it's, you know, it's a you, your husband, or your spouse, kids, do you just kind of limit it to you and your spouse?
Yeah, I would encourage people to limit it to those that really need it within the household or within the family. Again, why are you purchasing it? What's the reason behind it? And then obviously think about that in regards to, do your children actually need the information, the codes, etc.
And as we started off this segment talking scams, mm-hmm. What kind of scams should we be aware of when it comes to our smart doorbell?
Well, again, it's really the importance that this is a this guide was created with people that have yet to purchase it, on what to do to make smart purchasing decisions in regards to scams around the doorbell. I think it's, you know, people that get into your doorbell account where it comes into play. But that's why we issue this guide. And we often do guides on different subjects, whether it's buying a used car, in this case, the doorbell. We try to be on top of things in regards to what's really happening. But I'm happy to say there aren't a significant amount of scams yet in regards to doorbells and the video cameras. But again, this is a guide so you know what you're purchasing.
As far as tech support, though, is that something we should be aware of as to any scams or anything?
So there are a few. There's not like hundreds that have been reported. But if you need tech support, always make sure you call the official tech support number of the doorbell camera website. That's obviously in the packaging, which I always encourage people to keep the packaging. Scammers often use ads to make fake customer support numbers or websites. For those that are not tech savvy, like myself, we might go to those. So again, just go to directly to the website. If it's a Ring, for example, which I have, you can get in touch with the service department and ask for support through them. But don't fall victim to customer support numbers that may pop up on your social media. Or if you receive an email, it looks real, but then you're clicking through and giving information. Just be cautious of things like that. As we say with everything, go directly to the source. Don't rely on social media ads. Don't rely on emails that are unsolicited with the, you know, hopes of getting, you know, something for free, for example, an additional add-on. So just being cautious and making sure you're going directly to the source. And Ring is obviously only one provider for these cameras.
And again, if you are just tuning into this segment, we're speaking with Paula Fleming, and she is the chief spokesperson for your local Better Business Bureau. And with just a couple of more housekeeping things before we say goodbye to you in this particular segment. What if folks are happen to in be a part of a scam? What would you suggest to them?
Well, obviously, I encourage people to go to bbb.org/scam tracker. That is where you can report if you think you've been a victim of a scam or potentially have been contacted by someone who's trying to scam you. That's where we keep track of what trends are transpiring within our communities. Also, obviously, go directly, in this case, you would go directly to the if it's a Ring camera or whatever one, go directly to them, let them know what transpired. And we say that with everything. If it's important to go to directly to the source and let them know what's going on so they can help resolve it so other people are not potentially victims.
And what would you say, what would you suggest in regards to when it comes to doing business, who should be some of the folks that they consider if they're going to do business?
In regards to the doorbell?
Either doorbell or any that when it comes to standard business standards.
Well, obviously, I'm going to say to go to bbb.org and check out a business. Make sure you make sure they are vetted. Make sure they have a rating. Look at their rating. Look at their customer reviews. You want to make sure that whoever you're doing business with, and again, if you're purchasing a product like a Ring doorbell, or you're purchasing a service like a dog walker or a mechanic or a home improvement contractor, you really want to take your time and do research and make sure that you're dealing with a credible company or a reliable product.
And if folks want to kind of keep up to date on any of the latest scams, because there's a new one daily, I'm sure there are.
Yeah.
Your website.
Yep. So the website is bbb.org. All of our guides for purchasing tips, all of our scam information. You can also find out information on businesses throughout the U.S., Mexico, and Canada. If we don't have information on a business, you can simply click a button and we will then build a business profile for you. It might take a couple of days to turn around. But obviously, our job is to report factual information on businesses and within your community.
And again, if you are just tuning in, we have been speaking with Paula Fleming. She is the chief spokesperson for your local Better Business Bureau. Thank you so much for joining us and keeping us up to date and having a regular conversation.
Sure. Happy to do so.
And with that, that is all the time that we have been given. Fear not, though. We will be back next week at 6:15 p.m. Until then, have a great evening.